Okay. As has been said, we are having Baby Boomer Sunday. I hope you enjoyed it so far. In case you're visiting with us, we don't always have the old folks run the worship service. We just decided to do that today. You know, we've had the teens and the youth and family run our worship service. We've had the campus, the singles, but we decided today to let the mature folks do it. So here we are. I don't know if we'll ever do it again, but we did it today. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you that we could worship you today. Father, that we have a great place to worship. Father, that we have the freedom to worship. Father, and that we have you to worship. We honor you, praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Whoa. There we go. The title of my sermon today is Listening to God. In 2016, our theme has been transformation, being transformed by God. And this fall, we focused on how transformation helps us find our gift and find our voice so that we can do God's will in our lives. And we talked a lot this year about being connected to God. You know, being connected to God, because only God can bring about transformation in our lives. And it's God who gives us our gifts. It's God who helps us find our voice so that we can do His will. He wants to be close to each of us. God wants to be our God and we to be His people. He reaches out to us. He speaks to us. We can hear Him. We can listen to God. Amen. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let's read Matthew chapter 4, first four verses. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. The tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But He answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Amen. Jesus fasted for 40 days, and He was hungry. He was very hungry. But what did He say to the devil when He tempted Him to use His power to make food, to make bread? He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Okay. How many people here enjoyed a big Thanksgiving meal? I did. Yes, almost everybody. I love turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. That's my favorite meal of the year, Thanksgiving, and then we do the same thing again at Christmas. Let me ask all the kids in here, okay? And y'all can be loud. How many kids like pumpkin pie? Yeah, okay. Yeah, even some older kids. Hey, way to go. Okay. My mom loves pumpkin pie. She loves pumpkin pie. My wife, Barbara, makes excellent pies. For Thanksgiving, she made chocolate, she made pecan, and she made apple, and she always makes pumpkin at Christmas. I had two pieces, one on Thursday, one on Friday, you know. But food is not just yummy, right? Food is vital to life. We can't live long without food. But Jesus says here that food alone is not enough. You know, we can't just live on food, on the nourishment that our body needs. We need more than that. He says we need every word that comes from the mouth of God. To have life that's truly life, we have to listen to God. We have to hear what He says to us. You know, for Jesus, listening to God was a greater priority than food. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. But he said, no, the Word of God is more important. How about us? You know, how about, do we set aside time to listen to God? Do we set aside time to hear His Word? Are we eager to hear what God has to say to us? Or are we distracted by food? By putting food on the table, earning a living, shopping and cooking and, you know, taking care of a household and children, if we have children, and all the busy things of life? Are we distracted by all of that? Well, Jesus says you can't just live for that. You don't have life if you're just living for that. You have to have the Word of God. You have to hear Him. You have to listen to Him. You're missing out on life that's truly life if you're not listening to God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Okay, God spoke to many people in the Bible. Right, we know stories about where God spoke to people in the Bible. You know, He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. He spoke to Samuel in the temple when he was a little boy. He didn't know who it was. Eli had to tell him. God spoke to Elijah in a still small voice when Elijah was in a cave. You know, God spoke to many different people in the Bible. But when does God speak to us? When can we listen to God? When can we hear His voice? Hebrews 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Skip down to verse 15. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Skip over to chapter 4, verse 7. Again, He appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So there you go. When can we hear God's voice? Today. December 4th. Okay, today we can hear God's voice. He said it three times in case we missed it the first two, right? And He didn't say tomorrow, you know, in some future time when Jesus comes again, we'll be able to hear God, although we certainly will. He didn't say yesterday, you know, a long time ago in Bible days, they could hear God. He says today. Today, if you hear His voice. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Today, if you hear His voice, listen, pay attention. Hear what God is saying to you. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. If you don't remember anything else from this message, remember that today you can hear God's voice. Today you can listen to God. Any day. You can hear God speaking to you. He can guide your life. He can encourage you. He can help you, give you direction. God can do that. And you have that opportunity on any day called today. Amen. Look down at verse 12 of chapter 4. Says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, it's another way of saying you can hear God's voice today. The Word of God is alive. It's active. It's not dead. It's not just words on a page written long ago. The Word of God is alive and active. He speaks to us now. And it says here, He speaks to us in our hearts, in the deepest places of our thoughts, our intentions. You know, the private places that we don't share with a lot of people, that's where God wants to talk to us. And he wants to have an intimate relationship. He's not just, you know, on the internet or on TV. He wants to have an intimate relationship and speak to us in our hearts. Amen? Like a good friend. Like a good friend where you can have heart-to-heart talks. Or like someone you're in love with or married to, you know, your spouse. You can have heart-to-heart talks. Yep. Have close talks. Yep. That's what God wants to do. That's how close he wants to be with each one of us. He wants to be able to communicate with us on a heart level. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, you remember in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? When René, the French archaeologist, thought the Ark was a transmitter to talk to God, and Indiana Jones was willing to take him to God right then, right? Well, we don't need to go find the Lost Ark of the Covenant. You know, we can talk to God right now, today. We can hear him. We can listen to him. He can speak to us. Now, I can't promise that God will speak to you intimately every day. I can't promise that. I don't have that experience. The Bible here, the verses I just read say, if you hear his voice, we can certainly read the Bible every day, and we can see God's word every day and learn from that and understand God's thinking, understand God's guidance and directions for our life. But I believe at times God does speak to us more clearly than others. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. He's saying, today, if you hear his voice, today, if he speaks to you more intimately than just reading the Bible, pay attention. Listen. And I believe he does that, and I wanted to share a couple of examples from my life. I became a Christian in 1981. How many people here were born after 1981? Okay, there you go. See, we're the baby boomers, okay? It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Okay. Well, in 1981 and the months and even years leading up to that, I believe God was speaking to me in a special way about the direction of my life. You know, he wanted me to change the direction of my life and to really follow Jesus. I believe he was really speaking to me then in a special way. And on the night that I decided to get baptized into Christ, I believe he spoke to my heart in a special way through the songs that we sang that night at church. And I always remember them, these three in particular. We sang, "My Hope is Built." "When Christ shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." That's what I wanted the night I was baptized. We sang, "O Sacred Head, what language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end." And that's how I felt. Jesus had died for me, and I wanted to follow him. We sang another song that we haven't sung in church in a long time. It's in our songbooks, if you have one of our songbooks, but we don't sing it much. It's called "How Firm a Foundation." And that song, the last verse says, "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I cannot, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." And that was my commitment the night I got baptized. I wanted to never forsake Jesus. I wanted to remain faithful to him for the rest of my life. And I still cherish these songs. I sometimes sing them by myself, like driving to work in the car. I'll sing them out loud. I don't know, people around me, maybe they think I'm talking on a phone remotely, so that's good. Years back, of course, we didn't have cell phones. Us baby boomers can remember that. I don't know what people thought I was doing in the car. But anyway, listening to God, however, is a lifelong pursuit. It's not just something that happens once in your life. Many years later, around 2004, I went on a quest to get closer to God. I read some books, one called Wild at Heart, one called The Sacred Romance. Wild at Heart helped me really sort of heal things in my life. from when I grew up. And the Sacred Romance really helps inspire me to think about how God is always trying to speak to us, how God wants to speak to our hearts, wants to have a close relationship with us. That's what the title of the book means. It's a romance. God is a sacred romance. God is trying to romance us, to be close to us. And I really wanted to hear from God again at a deeper level. So turn to Isaiah chapter 41. I was reading the book of Isaiah at the time. It's an amazing book full of prophecy about the Messiah and about the kingdom of God. And I was sitting in my basement, where I sometimes go to read the Bible and pray. And I reached Isaiah 41, and let's read verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, reading those words today might not have any profound effect, but sitting there in my basement, I was completely awestruck. I was just completely amazed. I had been wanting to be closer to God, to really hear him speak to me, and there it was, he did. You see, God spoke to me directly out of the Bible in this verse. I didn't know it until then, but that song, How Firm a Foundation, that was sung at my baptism, that I had sung in the car by myself, not much at church, for over 20 years, well, this is the second verse of that song, right here in Isaiah 41. The rest of the song is not from the Bible, it's written by the songwriter. But for some reason, the songwriter put this verse from the Bible in his song that encouraged me at my baptism and for the next 20-something years, and I only discovered it in the Bible 20-something years later, right there, when I was praying to God that I wanted to be close, that I wanted to hear from him. It was like the writer in Hebrews said, that day, today, I heard his voice, and he was encouraging me. He was saying to me, I'm your God, don't be afraid. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Like a child, I could hold his hand. He's my father. That's what he was saying to me. And it was a tremendous encouragement to me. You know, and God can do that. God can speak to any of us at different times in our lives to help us, to encourage us, to guide us, whatever it is we need. That's the sacred romance. God is always doing that, always wanting to be closer to us. Amen? Turn to Psalms 46. I try to sing these songs, but I don't think I'm up to it today. Okay, Psalm 46. In the past few weeks, I've been reading the book of Psalms, just going through slowly through the entire book, reading the things that David wrote and others wrote, and it's almost all about their relationship with God. They are very open and honest and genuine about their feelings, bad things they're going through, and they wrestle it out with God, and they find hope and encouragement from God. So let's read Psalms 46, verses 1 through 9. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains fall into the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, this is a great psalm. They're all great. He tells us God is there. God is with us. God is there always to help us. He says no matter how bad it gets, even if it seems like mountains are falling into the sea. You know, and I've had times in my life like that, where it feels like everything is crumbling, right? Everything is falling apart. I've had times like that in my life where I had to turn to God. He was the only thing I had to hang on to. And he also points us to heaven, to the river that makes glad the city of God. You know, this image is also found in Revelation where it's describing heaven and the New Jerusalem, that there's a river that flows through the holy city of God. You know, we sang about this earlier this morning. There is a habitation. He says it here. It's a city that will never be moved. God is there. The city will never fall. It will always be secure and safe when we get there one day. And that's what we look forward to. That's how we can be encouraged, even in difficult times. Amen. And he even talks about the day of judgment. You know, and he says that God one day will come and work judgment and justice and deal with all the evil things in the world, but then he'll bring about peace. He'll bring about eternal peace, and we can enjoy that forever and ever. Amen? Then something strange happens in the psalm. For the first 9 verses, the psalmist has been talking about God. I just read them. He's speaking about God in the third person. He's talking about God. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about how great God is. But then in verse 10, somebody else speaks. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. Without warning, without any transition, without any thus saith the Lord at all, just suddenly God himself breaks into the psalm and speaks to us in the first person. So when I saw that a couple of weeks ago, again, it was amazing to me. I'm reading the psalm and the psalmist is saying all these great things, and now here God speaks right out of the pages in quotes to me and to us. And that's what he does. He speaks to us. He speaks to us. And I think we should do what he tells us to do here for just a second. Okay, so I'm going to ask if everyone, just for a minute, could close your eyes and just think. You know, be still and know that he is God. Amen. Preaching is great. And I hope you're enjoying my sermon this morning. And we can hear God in preaching. And teaching is great. I thought I appreciate Daniel's class this morning that he taught to us about Saul and Jonathan and David. But for me, like it says here, like God says here, the best time to really listen to God is when I'm still. When I'm alone. When I'm quiet, I'm in my basement, or there's another room in my house I like to go to, or in warm weather, I like to sit outside on my back porch and look at what God has created. Praying and reading the Bible in a quiet place. That's when I think we can most hear God, when we can most listen to him, especially about speaking to us specifically, things in our lives, encouragement, help, direction, whatever we need. You know, that's when he can help us. That's when he can help us find our gift. That's when he can help us find our voice and show us what he wants to do with our lives. You know, in verse 11, the psalmist says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, he'd already said that back in verse 7. It's the exact verse again. And in verse 7, I think he was just encouraging us generally that the Lord is with us, right? It's an affirmation of faith. But in verse 11, it's literally true. God had just spoken in verse 10. And so in verse 11, the psalmist, you know, he's just repeating himself. Yes, the Lord is with us. After all, he just spoke. He just spoke to me and to us. So it's amazing. You know, we can listen to God. We can hear his voice. I'm going to ask the music ministry to come back up here. And we're going to have our closing song. So y'all can come on up. And after the song, Bill Francis will close us out with a closing prayer. I want us to look back at the first couple of verses of Psalm 46. In addition to God speaking, I guess we need the curtains open too. In addition to God speaking, the first two verses of the psalm, guess what? Remind me of a song. Okay, they remind me of a song. Now, they're not word for word, and it doesn't remind me of a church song. It reminds me of a love song. But I researched, and I discovered that this love song is based on a spiritual about the Lord. So the man who wrote this song actually based it on a spiritual about the Lord. So what we're going to do today is we're going to reverse engineer the song. And we're going to take the love song that was written in the 60s, and us baby boomers know it. And we're going to turn it back and make it about God, make it about Jesus. Okay, the sacred romance that he seeks with each one of us. And I call it the BEK translation of Psalm 46, 1 and 2. And it goes something like this. When the night has come and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. Amen. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains crumble to the sea, I won't cry. I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. Amen. So let's stand up and let's sing it. Thank you.
Jesus, Jesus, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me. Stand by me. Whenever I'm in trouble, won't you stand by me? Oh, stand by me. Stand by me, whenever I'm in trouble, won't you stand by me, oh, stand by me, oh, stand now, stand by me, stand by me, whenever I'm in trouble, won't you stand by me, oh, stand by me.
You are one more prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Good job, bro. All right. Well, you know the baby boomers do it with soul, don't they? All right. So, it's a great worship service today. You know, we've come full circle. We've had all the different groups. Leaders service, and it's been great just seeing the different flair. We don't want to forget that there's a few members here who are of that pre-baby boomer generation.
Come on now.
The greatest generation, they call it, so we don't want to forget about them. Not enough of them to lead a service, but it just shows just God has a lot of talent and has a lot of ways of us expressing our love for him, and we've seen that this morning. I want to thank all these guys back here. All the brothers who have shared and taught us today, it's been a great service. I got four announcements real quick that we do need to make. Next week is our Christmas program. We're really excited about that. Everybody's been practicing hard, and won't be any children's program next week. Service will start at 10 o'clock in here, so be in place and get ready for a great time. So in that regard, we have the dress rehearsal today. So at, I'll say 12:20, it was initially 12:15. They're going to start practice. So when we're done here, everybody take your fellowship outside so they can come in and get in place. That will also include the Kingdom Kids. So let them get their practice in today. Thirdly, there's a sister named Molly. Is Molly still in here? She went outside. Okay, Molly's from the Athens Church, and you've noticed the things that are outside that she's been selling. Well, Molly is raising monies for her mission work. She's been doing this for several years. She's gone to Bangladesh and India. She's getting ready for a two-month trip to Nigeria. So look out front. You may see some books, some things that will benefit you spiritually. Help Molly in this endeavor. She did want me to mention, though, parents, kind of watch your kids. She's got some soft items and teddy bears and all out there. Don't allow the kids to just kind of come up and walk away with those, you know. So just be mindful of that. And then lastly, on December 14th, we will have a special contribution to benefit the victims of the hurricane in Haiti several weeks ago. So our entire contribution that Wednesday will go to help the folks in Haiti. And that's being orchestrated by Hope Worldwide. So come prepared, maybe give a little more than you normally give to help out our brothers and sisters and the people of Haiti.
Amen.
So again, it's been a great worship service. Let's close out with a word of prayer. God, we are just so grateful, Father, for the generations that we have in this church. Father, that each generation has something special to offer. And we've seen that today, Father, as we've culminated these series of worship services with the baby boomers. Father, we all express our love to you in different ways. And Father, this is just one small way that we've shown that we can worship you. And we're grateful for it and grateful for everyone who participated here today. Father, we thank you. We can begin our week, Father, setting our mind on Jesus. and the great Savior he is, the great friend he is. Father, I pray that we'll take what we've been inspired with here today and begin our week in a great way and to remember it throughout the week. Father, we love you so much. Thank you that we could come freely worship today. Help us have a great fellowship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.
One other announcement. Someone lost a cell phone. If you lost a cell phone, you can come see me. Thank you. Thank you.